Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Thursday, September 9. And let me mention our Sermon of the Month, number 9. Entitled, Don't Let Satan Steal God's Word. Don't Let Satan Steal God's Word. This message has proved to be a tremendous blessing to an awful lot of people, and we'll offer it to you without cost or obligation if you'll write and let us know the call letters of the station where you're hearing the Beacon Broadcast. You can write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or email us at beacon@netpath.net. We need your name, return address, the call letters of the station, and if you prefer CD rather than cassette, please let us know. Otherwise, we'll send it on cassette. That's our way of saying thanks for communicating with us and letting us know that you're listening to the Beacon Broadcast. It's amazing how many people do listen but don't let us know, and I recognize that that's the commonality. Statistics say that for every communication you receive from a radio listener, there are, now I've forgotten what the number is, but something like 1,000 that you never hear from. It's a great, great big number. So we should assume, I guess, that that's so, and be encouraged. If we receive 10 letters or emails, that, according to the statistic, means that 10,000 people are listening to the broadcast, I suppose. Sometimes I wonder, though. We'd like to know who's there, who's listening, if the Lord is truly using it in anybody's life. I know on the broadcast that we do on local stations here in and around Burlington, North Carolina, we seldom ever hear from anybody. Why, right? You live in the same town. But we frequently talk to people who listen to the broadcast. I do, and members of our church do. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me how many different people they have talked to recently that listen to the Beacon Broadcast. One turned out to be next-door neighbors who listened to the broadcast, had no idea of the connection between their neighbors and the broadcast, and the connection was made for them. In another case, they went into a place of business, saw a lady there who was tending the phone, reading her Bible. The Bible was open on her desk, and they commented on it and asked about it, and found out that that lady is also a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, and on it goes. So we do know that people listen that we never hear from, and that encourages us to continue on. Radio broadcasting is primarily a matter of sowing the seed of God's Word by faith. In a sense, that, of course, is what you're always doing. But somehow, when you're preaching to a congregation, at least you can see the people present. You know they're there. You know they've come. You know they're listening to the Word. You don't know how well they're hearing it and what the Holy Spirit is doing with it in their hearts. But you can see their faces. You can get some sense of their interest and comprehension. If everybody's looking at you glassy-eyed, you know they're not understanding. If people are nodding their heads and are agreeing, if people get particularly quiet at certain times, sometimes the effect of certain truths are such that it just brings a holy hush over the congregation, and you could literally hear a pin drop. and you know the Lord is at work. But it's just not that way with the radio. You just sit down at a radio microphone and talk into a microphone, and you don't see the face of anybody. You don't get any sense of the response. And if you don't hear from people, sometimes you wonder, should we be doing this? Is this a good use of our time? Is this a good use of God's resources? It costs quite a bit of money, frankly, to put these broadcasts on the radio. Thousands, many multiplied thousands, tens of thousands. I won't tell you how many thousands of dollars we are spending on this. And ours is just a little venture compared to some. We're not on all that many stations, though they are growing in number. But we thank the Lord for it, and we are encouraged because the Lord does continue to supply finances to allow us to add additional stations. So the Lord is moving on hearts, and people are listening and are responding and are enthusiastic enough about the broadcast to want to help it go forward and to help it expand. And that's encouraging. And if you'd like to encourage us, just let us know that you're out there and that the broadcast is beneficial to you in some way. And for your trouble, we'll send you Sermon of the Month, number 9, entitled, Don't Let Satan Steal God's Word. Well, how did I take half the broadcast with that? That's introductory. We're talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as found in the introductory words of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Thus far, we have seen the origin of the gospel is God. The history of the gospel predates the coming of Jesus Christ. It goes back to the Old Testament era. And we have thirdly examined something of the contents of the gospel, and we've learned that it centers in God the Son, that God invaded human history in the person of His Son, and He was humiliated in the flesh, but, and now we come to verse 4 of chapter 1, He was also exalted following His humiliation. I read Romans 1, 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now Christ's exaltation is as much a part of the gospel as his humiliation. His humiliation is his incarnation, becoming a man, and culminating with his death on the cross and his burial. And so we read about his humiliation in verse 3. Concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And that's just a short reminder of all the things that are connected with his earthly sojourn, the time of his incarnation, the time of his humiliation upon the earth. But it does not stop there. He did not remain in weakness and humiliation, but the time of his exaltation came, and that's verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And Christ's resurrection from the dead was the proof that he was, that he is, I should say, the Son of God. His sonship was manifested, that is made clear, by the resurrection from the dead, because his resurrection from the dead was like no other. Now we realize that Jesus himself raised some people from the dead. And we realize that there have been a few other resurrections performed by some other messengers and prophets of God throughout biblical history. But we know, for example, that Christ stepped up to the tomb of Lazarus and called him forth to life. That Christ stepped up to the coffin of the son of the widow of Nain and called him forth to life. But when Jesus rose from the dead, number one, There was no human instrument present to be used of God to accomplish the miracle. Any other resurrection you find in the Bible had a human instrument conspicuously present and being used by God to perform the miracle. In the case of Christ's resurrection from the grave, there was no human instrument because no man raised Christ from the dead. God raised Christ from the dead. Furthermore, when Christ was raised from the dead, nobody released him from the tomb. He came out of that tomb on his own. You know, the stone that was rolled away from the grave was not rolled away to let Christ out. He came out before the stone was rolled away. Then it was rolled away so that men might examine the empty tomb and might see the evidence of his resurrection. And that's another thing. When Christ was raised from the dead, he was raised in glory. He was raised in a glorified body, which had never happened before. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he didn't come through the stone. In fact, he was bound by his grave clothes. Somebody had to take them off. Maybe that's why there's such a conspicuous point made in John's account of the fact that Jesus had to say to the bystanders, "Loose him and let him go." Christ came out of his grave clothes. Christ came through his grave clothes. Christ could not be bound or contained by his grave clothes. All those strips of cloth that were customarily wound around Jewish bodies and the spices wound into the cloths were left lying in Christ's resurrection because his resurrection was different from any other resurrection. His was a true final resurrection. The first fruits of them that slept, the first fruits of the kind of resurrection which God's people will have, a final resurrection, the body raised to immortality. Lazarus was resuscitated to life, and we can call that a resurrection. He was raised to life, but he was simply restored to the former life he had before, which means that he was bound and limited by all the same limitations he had before he died. And it also means he died again. He died again. So there were wonderful things accomplished by his resurrection from the dead, but it did not free him from the power of death. He had to die again. You say, how do you know that? Well, because he's not still living, and there's no record of his being transported to heaven. He died again. Lazarus had the privilege, I started to say unique privilege, but it was not absolutely unique, for there were a few others who shared it, but Lazarus had the rare privilege of being resuscitated back to life after he truly had died. But the offshoot of that, the corresponding part of that was, he had to die twice. Two funerals that Mary and Martha had to go through in the case of their brother Lazarus. They were glad to have him back, but that didn't free him from the power of death. But Christ was freed from the power of death forever and ever. Amen. And so he was exalted, and that's part of the gospel too, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised again. He rose again on the third day. And that's part of the gospel too. And so let's rejoice in the gospel of Christ. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.